you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The story of the Reformation is the story of a priest. A priest who became a great preacher. A man who witnessed the corruption of the church and was called by God to speak up about it. To call the people of his day to repentance. To point them to Jesus. To proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. He was loved by many and hated by more. And persecuted for his bold preaching. And as a result of his preaching, many people turned from the error of their ways. And by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, they were given a place in the kingdom of heaven. Of course, I'm talking about the man whose name is John the Baptist, of whom Jesus once said, "Among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John." He was the last prophet of the Old Testament era. And as such, he didn't merely reform the church of God. He prepared it for its transition from an Old Testament church to a New Testament church. His duty was to point to Christ and to the kingdom of heaven over which Christ rules. What is the kingdom of heaven? It is the reign of Christ as king in the hearts of men. Not the kind of ruling of a king who forces men to follow him or to obey him under threat of punishment. But the kind of ruling that brings with it the forgiveness of sins. That frees a person from slavery to sin. From the power of the devil to accuse and condemn, and even from death. It's the kind of ruling that makes a person a born-again child of God and an heir of his heavenly kingdom. Where is it, this kingdom of heaven? It isn't up in heaven. Instead, it has come down to us from heaven. It's wherever the gospel is preached, where the sacraments are administered, there is the kingdom of heaven on earth. There the Spirit of Christ calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And what is the gospel? It's what John the Baptist first began to preach. God has come to the aid of sinners. God has stepped into our earthly history. He has given his Son to be born as a man, to redeem us from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. He did it not because we deserve it, or have worked for it, or have earned it, but he did it by his own grace, through faith alone in Christ alone. That is the gospel. And as Jesus said in today's gospel, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The passage has been translated in a couple of ways. I think it would be better translated, "The kingdom of heaven advances forcefully. Forceful men lay hold of it." Because in the parallel passage in St. Luke's gospel, it puts it a little differently, maybe a little more clearly or easier for us to understand. The gospel of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is pressing into it forcefully. How was the kingdom of heaven advancing forcefully since the days of John. The gospel of Christ was proclaimed from the days of John. It was proclaimed in the face of much opposition. It was proclaimed precisely where men didn't want it to be proclaimed, like the Pharisees, like the teachers of the law, the rulers of the land of Judea. It was proclaimed in the face of all that opposition, and yet it could not be silenced, and it could not be stopped. Herod couldn't stop the kingdom of heaven from being preached, even by putting John the Baptist in prison, where he was when Jesus spoke these words. No one, the Pharisees, couldn't stop the kingdom of heaven from being proclaimed. They couldn't stop Jesus from proclaiming it until he himself was ready to be placed up on the cross. And even then, the crucifixion of Jesus couldn't stop the gospel from being proclaimed as it was preached even after Jesus' death by his apostles. It was preached in the face of more persecution, in the face of imprisonments and whippings and death. The kingdom of heaven continued to advance forcefully in the face of all that. And how were forceful men laying hold of it? Who were these forceful men? It may be said in a way with some irony, but in a way, in a spiritual way, there is force involved. The forceful men who laid hold of the kingdom of heaven were tax collectors, prostitutes, fishermen, a Roman centurion here, a Jewish official there, a Canaanite woman over here, a village full of Samaritans over here. They were little children, of whom Jesus once said, "Of such is the kingdom of heaven." All of these were laying hold of the kingdom of heaven, pressing into it forcefully, not by being wise or outwardly violent, or even by being good people or obedient. They were all sinners deserving damnation, but in the face of great sinfulness, in the face of great opposition by the world, in the face of all the devil's temptations and accusations, by the power of the gospel, they all dared to trust in Christ Jesus as the Savior, as the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's no small feat. That is impossible for anyone to do but by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the gospel, which Paul calls the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, was powerfully preached in the world for many hundreds of years after Christ's ascension. And the kingdom of heaven continued to advance forcefully around the world as the gospel was preached. The kingdom of heaven always advances forcefully, and forceful men always lay hold of it. But that doesn't mean that the gospel is always preached as clearly and as abundantly as before. Nor does it necessarily mean that vast numbers at any one time will be laying hold of it forcefully. There came a time in the history of the New Testament church when the gospel was preached less and less, as the Roman Pope became less and less Christ-centered and more man-centered. Less and less Word of God-oriented and more man-oriented. It became difficult for people to hear the preaching of the gospel through all the chattering of the Pope's men about other things as they preached less and less about Christ, more and more about indulgences and works of penance and satisfaction, paying for one's own sins, praying to the saints, worshiping the Virgin, the sacrifice of the Mass, and on and on and on. We celebrate the Reformation because God raised up men like John the Baptist, men like Martin Luther and Martin Chemnitz and countless others who, in the face of great opposition, pointed poor sinners away from all those other things and back to Jesus, back to the Word of Jesus, back to His works, His merits, His grace, and His promise of salvation by faith alone. Luther was indeed like that angel of whom we heard in the epistle today, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." Since the days of the Reformation, the gospel has been clearly preached again in the world. But again, that doesn't mean that it's always preached as abundantly at one time as it was at another. The scriptures do not depict for us, as the world ages, a kingdom of heaven that spreads visibly over the face of the earth, gradually taking over the planet and enveloping the world in good behavior and charitable deeds. Nor do the scriptures depict a large Christian church that fills the world with pure teaching and with orthodoxy, pointing straight at Jesus all the time. On the contrary, pure preaching is depicted in these last days as rare. And with regard to faith, it is not depicted as a common thing leading up to the coming of Jesus. Instead, Jesus asks, "When the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth?" No, the powerful preaching of the gospel and the forceful faith that results will not be widespread on this earth as it winds down. But the kingdom of heaven must remain on this earth until Christ comes. The Word of God remains forever. So say the scriptures, and so also repeated the Lutheran reformers as one of their key sayings, "The Word of the Lord remains forever." There must be a church on earth that preaches the gospel and that hears and believes the gospel. It cannot fail. So as those who have been given this treasure of the gospel and who have been given entrance into the kingdom of heaven, where Christ is, where His word is preached, and where His sacraments are administered, let's give thanks to God for His grace in giving us this gift. And let us see to it, by God's grace and always with God's help, that we do not take this treasure for granted, but stand upon it, as Luther stood upon it, powerfully proclaiming it and steadfastly believing it. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.